Welcome to Locust Grove Church, friends, this Palm Sunday. I'm Miss Robin. I'm a sinner. Welcome to the house of sinners, y'all. It's a place you want to be. And I am a child of God. I am not a pastor, but I have a passion to read and study the Word of God. And when we read in the accounts of this week, we see how women were so important with Jesus in his life, what they did for him, where they went with him. You know, when he came out of that tomb, the first person there is a woman. Amen. Well, I want to thank all of you for allowing to share me the scriptures today, because I'm going to tell you, this is my book report for you. But before I do that, I have an infomercial, and this is something that I don't think we see very often, and it's a secret. You'll see so many stand up here and they'll say, everything you need to know, it's in this book. Bring this book. What is this book? It is the Bible. Thank you, Wyatt. It's the Word of God and it's the truth. But for many of you, you don't read it. You say, I don't understand it. Well, there's a lot I don't understand either. But you've got to get, number one, a translation you can read. So you've got to go out and find people to help you. Find the one that is readable to you. If you look at the King James and we do these and thous and all of that old English, you're not going to read it. It doesn't make sense. So look for the Message or maybe the New Living Translation or the English Standard. Whatever one you can read, get it. And if it's a child's Bible, that's one you want. And here's the second secret. All of the answers are in here. Any good study book you have, all the answers are in the back of the book. You go back to the alphabet in the back of the book, A to Z, and anything you want to know about life is back there. So you just pick a word, something that's on your mind, and I have things like fear, money, sex, food. I did a really great on insomnia because that was very bothersome. I've got about a 3-page report on insomnia. Everything you want to know is in the back of the book. So that's my little infomercial. Get one you can read and look for the answers in the back of the book. And that's how you study what's in here. Will you pray with me and for me? I want to open in the name of our Father, our Son, and our Holy Spirit. And I give thanks, Lord. You give me a boldness to stand here, to be firm and courageous, and to share the words of God in this Holy Bible. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to receive these words and be blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen. When I was sort of writing this, and I had some music in the background, and one of them was by The Temptations. It was a song called about, get ready, because here I come now. Da-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I thought, yeah, this is Jesus week. Here he comes. He's coming in today, Palm Sunday. This is what we want to hear about. Welcome, Jesus. He's here. This week, we want to get ready for not only today, but we're going to celebrate Passover. This Thursday, we call Maundy Thursday. We're going to celebrate the Last Supper. Good Friday, death to all sin on the cross. Amen. And Easter morning, the third day, and we shout, He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's coming. I'm using the NIV translation for the scripture, if you want to know where that's at today. And I'm going to start off with Isaiah 49, verse 16. The Lord says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Every single person, your name is on the hand of God. He's tattooed, folks. That's how it goes. That's how precious you are to him, you beloved. Now, I want you to think about these happenings with these palms. Mary anointed Jesus with her expensive perfume with her palms. Jesus smelled like that this entire thing. We think of the blood and the gore, but he smelled pretty. The crowd adored him. They waved their palms as he came in to the city in Jerusalem. And the guards abused him with the palms and the stocks. Palms. If you are able, would you stand with me, please? I want you to lift your palms, and we're going to shout three times, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the world, Hosanna. You may be seated. You always have the palms to welcome Jesus. Now, if you want to join me, you can open your Bibles, and we're going to go to Genesis 22, chapter 22. This chapter is a parallel of these Easter events that are going to happen another 2,000 years. And I want to take you through verses 1 through 14. Remember, I'm not a pastor. I'm sharing the word with you today. We're going to see the amazing hand of God, how he orchestrates and he puts all these puzzle pieces together for his plans to be made complete. So listen and hear all of the similarities in Genesis 22 to now. So in verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. My study boy's over here. God's always given us a test. I don't care if you get through school and you're done. We're all tested. Always. We are not to test God, but he tests us. And he said to him, Abraham, God calls us by name. He knows your name. In the Old Testament, right now, God is testing a man. 2,000 years later, the devil is testing Jesus. Similarity. And in verse 1, it says, here I am. God always knows where we're at. He knew that Adam and Eve, where they were hiding in the garden. He knows where we're at all the time. What's going in our messy, funky lives. But we always want to say, when he calls your name, here I am. In the New Testament, when Jesus is on trial, he doesn't say, here I am. If you read the scripture, he says, I am. He's God. He is the I am. Verse 2, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Now, just a little history. Abraham's over 100. His wife Sarah's 99. They have a blessed baby boy. His name is Isaac. When we jump ahead to the New Testament, if you go to Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, God says these words. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Do you see the mirror of the words? Father, son, father, son. God has one son. And verse 2, we will go to the region of Moriah. Now, I got to give you fact checks because, you know, they gotta know that it's all right. Moriah is where Jerusalem, the city, is, and that is where the temple will be built. This is the first time in the Bible the word love is ever used in Scripture, if you want to write that in your notes. Continuing in verse 2, it says, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Oh my gosh. What is Abraham thinking? I am supposed to sacrifice my child that I waited for these 100 years, my one and only son? He's shaking his head because God doesn't say sacrifice a person. He says, burn him up. If we go to Old Testament law in Leviticus 18:10, it says, let no one among you be found who sacrifices his son or daughter in a fire. In Deuteronomy 18, and 12, it says, this is what pagans do to their false idols. They burn up their children. Don't you think Abraham's going, God, what are you asking me to do? I'm so good. That doesn't make sense. You know, a lot of stuff God asks us does not make sense. But Abraham, he's so obedient. He's so faithful. Doesn't God ask you to do a lot of things and you don't understand why does he want me to do that? Are we obedient and faithful? Hebrews 11:17 tells me, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Friends, have faith. Hebrews 11:19, Abraham reasoned, God could even raise the dead. That is faith. Believe God's power and believe God's miracles. He can do it. And then I think about sacrifice. That's hard to sacrifice. It is for me. But listen to this ultimate sacrifice from John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That is an ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate promise for us to stand on. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey. Well, Abraham's old. Isaac's a wee little boy. I think he put Isaac up on that donkey to ride. Now, Palm Sunday, what's Jesus doing coming into town today? He's riding the donkey. Similarity. Continuing verse 3, he took with him two servants and his son Isaac. Two servants. In the New Testament, weren't there two guys hanging on either side of Jesus on the cross? I want to talk about that for a moment. One of those men on that cross asked Jesus, he says, remember me. That man, he never went to church. He didn't go to Bible study. He didn't read the Bible. He wasn't baptized. He didn't take communion. He's in heaven with Jesus. Jesus makes it so simple. All you have to do is know he's the one. Believe in Jesus. Well, it's simple like that. Ask him into your heart. It's a done deal. The Holy Spirit will fill you up, because then, when you have Jesus in your life, you'll want to know more about him. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He makes me hungry to read and study his word. I want to go to church to be with my sinner friends and know and be accepted and encouraged to see how I should live better. I like my Bible study. I've been baptized. I take communion. All of these things that I do allow me to stand here and share the word. Because if I only had a relationship, it's just me and Jesus, and I just talk to him, I miss out on all this other stuff. And this is what we do here. This is why we come to this building, to learn about and share this stuff with each other. Verse 3. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out at the place God had told him about. So note this. God always gives enough. He cut enough wood. He will always give you enough. And he will guide you to where you're supposed to be. Verse 4, on the third day, John 11:26. Jesus is raised the third day and says, I am the resurrection and the life. All these similarities. Verse 4, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. Friends, look up. Look up to Jesus. And verse 5, he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham didn't say to him, I'm going over there to sacrifice my son. He used the word boy, not son. Isn't that like God and Jesus 2,000 years later trying to distance himself? You see, they have to be apart. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. Abraham, he says, we will come back to you. Now, Abraham's confused, right? I'm supposed to be over here doing what God, I'm going to sacrifice my child, but he says, we will come back to you. That's a little bit prophetic. If the son was sacrificed, he would have said, I will come back to you. Okay. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he put it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. Isaac, the little boy, has this wood on his back. 2,000 years later, Jesus dragging a wooden cross on his back up that hill. His bloody, mangled body against the wood of that cross. Similarities. Verse 6, as the two of them went on together. See, we have Abraham and Isaac, father and son, going together. We have God and Jesus going together, father and son. But God's going to leave Jesus alone, and here's why. Jesus has to beat all of our sins on that cross. Sin is a separation from God. God had to leave Jesus so Jesus could have our sin. God had to turn his back. That's when, you know, Jesus is praying. Where's God? And why did Abraham need a knife? Well, when we read in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapters 28 and 29, it tells you all this. It says, we know a perfect male lamb without defect was killed for the sin offering of the people. The lamb's neck was slit to spill the blood. Jesus, the perfect lamb, gave his blood for our sins one time. In the Old Testament, when the lamb was slain, there's another offering that you don't often hear about. It's from Numbers 28, verse 7. The accompanying drink offering is to be a quarter of a hin of a fermented drink with each lamb slain. So now that brings me to the New Testament, the Last Supper. Jesus is the lamb. We have the bread, the broken body of Jesus. John 6:35 says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And then we have the drink, the blood of Jesus. Luke 22:20. The cup is the New Testament covenant in my blood poured out for you. Old Testament, New Testament, saying the same thing. Old covenant, new covenant. Again, we hear these words, remember me. This is what Jesus says at the Last Supper. It's a forecast of what's going to happen on the cross. That's what he's telling everyone. Remember me. I poured out my blood for your sins. Remember, he died for you. But as we remember all these teaching and miracles of Jesus' short 33 years of life, the thief beside Jesus, remember me. When you pray, do you ask Jesus, remember me? Pray for yourself. verse 7. Isaac spoke up and said to Abraham, Father? Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying three times. And he starts off, Father? You could read the account. Do I have to do this? Won't you take it away? He's questioning. And then Jesus is on the cross, and the first word out of his mouth, Father, and before he dies, his last words out of his mouth, Father. Verse 7, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He's a sharp little kid. Jesus knew he was the lamb. But don't we ask questions? Don't we wonder, where's everything I need to do what I need to do? Verse 8, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Friends, have hope. God provides everything we need. God provided his son, the perfect lamb, for you. And verse 8, and the two of them went on together. You see, even though little Isaac's got questions, he still follows his father. He trusts him. That's what we have to do. Follow him. We have to trust our Lord. Verse 9, when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar and he arranged the wood on it. Isaac carried that wood on his back. Jesus dragged that cross up the hill. Verse 9, he bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Oh my gosh, your emotions just ought to be like, what in the world? Can you imagine? Think of the struggle and the emotions going on. Is Isaac struggling? Is he yelling? Is he crying? Is he pleading? Is he fighting? Is he kicking? Is he screaming? My dad's tying me up and throwing me on this wood. Unimaginable. Were they far enough away the servants didn't hear all that struggle? Because if had they heard it, would they have come in and intervened, and would the story be different? And what about Abraham? Dad, he's waited 100 years for this son. Isn't he crying? He's confused, but God's telling me to do this, but I'm doing it, and I can't stand it. I'm killing my baby. Can you feel the dread? Is it weighing on your heart? Isaiah 53, 6 and 7, Jesus went quietly and obediently. He didn't say anything. He didn't cry and scream and have a drama. He just went. Acts 8:32, Jesus was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. I think all of these emotions are things that we feel and we see. It's the same now as it was then. It hasn't changed. And verse 10, he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. You know his hand was shaken. You know his eyes were filled with tears. He couldn't hardly see. The snot was running out of his nose. It's a mess. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord, little fact check here for you. If you hear about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, that person was usually Jesus. Here's Jesus right now in this, and 2000, he's going to do this same thing all over again. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Remember when Lazarus died and his sister Martha and Mary there? Jesus had to call out twice to her, Martha, Martha. If he calls your name two times, I think it would behoove you to heed and pay attention. What do you think? Was Abraham in just such a determined state of mind to complete the job at hand that the angel had to jar him loose, calling him two times to get his attention? James 2, verses 21, 22, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, he had faith, and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Verse 11, here I am. Oh gosh, we're right back to verse 1 again. Here I am. And verse 12, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham passed the test. He did what God asked him to do. He was obedient. He was faithful. And in verse 13, Abraham looks around. In the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. Another little fact check. Horns indicate it's a male sheep. That's what we're supposed to have, you know, for this sacrifice. Think about that thicket. That thicket. And that crown of thorns on Jesus' head. Similarities. Now this just seems a little too casual for me. You know, we're going from this intense moment, we're going to kill this boy, to like, oh, he looks around and there's a sheep over here in the thicket. I would think that sheep would just be bleating like crazy. It's caught. It's fighting to get out. It's fighting for its life. But no, it's silent. Just like Jesus was silent. The lamb is silent. If that sheep had been bah, would those servants have heard it? Would they have come and intervened? And would the story be different? I don't know. Have you ever felt like the ram? Have you ever felt trapped and entangled? Have you ever felt lost and lonely? You know, Jesus looks for his lost sheep. Are you ever crying out, fighting for your life, and you cry so hard that you lose your voice and you can't talk anymore? Or are you quiet because you're afraid and you're hiding? Or you accept the circumstances, you quit fighting and you just remain silent? Or do you pray and ask God for help? Maybe I need you to ask yourself too, what is the thorn in my flesh? And verse 13, he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it on the burnt offering instead of his son. Now the Old Testament required an animal sacrifice for the blood to cover the sins of the people. But folks, Jesus' blood is the new covenant. His blood paid the price once and for all. Done. Verse 14. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Always, always the Lord will provide. So I'm going to start wrapping this up. You've got Abraham and Isaac, a father and a son. You got a donkey, you got servants. They all go home. Isaac's running to his mom, Sarah, and he's yelling, Mom, Mom, guess what? Dad tried to kill me. And he tells her the whole thing. Sarah's crying tears of what could have happened for the sacrifice of a son. But then she's crying tears of joy. He lives. But let's go into 2,000 years forward. Another mother, Mary. She's crying tears. She's watching her son endure and go through this week. She's watching him die on a cross. But then we have tears of joy because that third day he arose and he lives. Jesus went home to his father and he's sitting at the right hand. He's alive. Now, I'm talking to you out there, some folks. You unbelievers say, this is all a fairy tale. I say you're partly right with that. Because when you accept Jesus into your life and in your heart, you will live happily ever after, forever and ever. Ever and ever. Fix your eyes on Jesus this Holy Week. Remember this Thursday with the Last Supper. Remember the death of sin on that cross on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter, when we will proclaim, hallelujah, he's risen indeed, hallelujah. Now, as I conclude this, I couldn't let a call to this altar not happen. Come, if you are the lost or the lonely sheep. Come, if you're the trapped sheep. Are you tangled up in physical, emotional, financial, addictive, whatever woe is in your life? Come if you need a healing. Come if you want to ask Jesus into your heart. Come if you just want to praise him and thank him for what he did for you. The Lord will provide. Amen.